Time to level collapse. 4 days, 20 hours.
And with no additional fanfare, we left the guild and struck out into the dungeon.
By the way, now that I've successfully trained both of you, if you enter any additional training guilds, you'll be transported back to this room. I'm now your registered guide, so feel free to come back here if you have any additional questions. You'll lose access to me once you hit the fourth floor.
Yeah. Take care. Good luck out in the universe once this is over.
Yeah. Good luck to you too. It's not worth it. No matter what they tell you, not until floor 12, and even then negotiate as much as you can. Remember that.
My mind reeled. What did that mean? Was he saying it was better to die than to take whatever exit they offered on floors 10 and 11? Did that even matter? Floor 10. Who was Mordecai kidding? 3 million people had died in this place in the very first hour. I wasn't expecting to survive until the next floor opened up.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to walk that way, and if we get attacked by anything, you protect me.
Wandering aimlessly? That's the plan?
We have approximately 29 hours before these aliens air their television show. That means we have 29 hours to do something absolutely spectacular. But first, we need to find you some pants. I will not be presented to the universe in such a fashion. I can just see the comments now on the Martian social media.
A beautiful cat blog, but why isn't her bodyguard wearing pants?
I started moving down the hall. We headed back the way we'd come before, back toward the main thoroughfare. This entire area was scorched black from the explosion of the goblin dozer. The smear of blood ran from where the dozer had run over the goblin remained. Everything else had been destroyed in the explosion.
You know, you're not wearing pants either.
Nor am I wearing a cloak that makes me look like I won a participation trophy at the Special Needs Comic-Con, Carl. I'm a cat. Cats don't wear pants. Don't be so droll.
We came to the conjunction, and I warily looked around the corner. I didn't see anything. This hallway was lit by torches, not the green lichen, so it was much brighter. It seemed completely abandoned in either direction. We stepped out into the wide tunnel.
Now, I know your simple mind is telling you to just keep...
Okay. I was struggling with this decision earlier, but this, transformation, or whatever has happened, has made this much easier. I'm going to go that way, and you're going to go any other direction than that. Good luck.
What? You want to separate? I don't understand.
Look, Mordecai said you're a lot more powerful than I am. Great. That means you'll probably be okay. More okay than me. But I would rather just get this over with and get squished by a goblin bulldozer than spend another second dealing with this bullshit. Cats are assholes. I get it. But do you know why people like cats, despite their assholeness? It's because they don't fucking talk! If they did, and they were all like you, they'd all be extinct because we'd have killed you all by now!
I pulled up my menu and tried to figure out how to remove myself from the party.
Wait, Carl, wait! Don't! I'm sorry. Wait.
What?
The cat sat on the floor. She seemed to deflate.
I'm sorry. You're right. It's just... Have you ever woken up from a long dream? One where you're one thing, and now that you're awake, it takes you a moment to realize that's not who you really are.
I just looked at her.
Okay. When I woke up back there, I had all my memories of all my time being me. Of sitting in that window, looking outside, of watching television all day long, of all the hours in the carrier and back of Miss Beatrice's car, traveling to those horrid yet wonderful shows, of being told what a princess I am. And then, suddenly, my mind looked back on all of it, and I understood what had happened. I am a grand champion, Carl. I'm supposed to act a certain way, but sitting in your lap, watching you get fragged over and over in Call of Duty, I like that too. I mean, you really suck at that game, but you keep playing. I didn't realize it at the time, but I liked that.
So, what are you saying? That you're not a crazy, stuck-up asshole princess?
Oh, I am a princess, Carl, but I'll try not to be too much of an asshole. I need you. And you need me, okay? Look, I'm really scared here. I don't want to be alone. And I know you, and you don't want to be alone either. I saw you the other day, looking at the map on your computer. And then at those apartments on Craigslist.
What do you mean?
There was that day when the passes were clear. You could have taken me back to Miss Beatrice's parents. But you didn't want to. You were looking at apartments, making sure they allowed cats. You were thinking about catnapping me.
That's exactly what I had been doing. But I hadn't even admitted it to myself.
It wouldn't have worked, by the way. Her dad would have gotten me back right away.
That was true, too. Bee's dad was a lawyer out of Yakima. Okay. Let's keep moving. The mini-map showed the cardinal directions, and we headed east. I kept an eye out for any special rooms or other dots.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not wearing pants because you decided to jump out the window.
That reminded me, and I felt in my pocket.
Yes!
A pack of Marlboro Reds. I still had half a pack left. I still had my Zippo. I'd also received a lighter from that goblin box, so now I had two. I had the urge to pull the pack out right then. But I knew I probably wouldn't get any more cigarettes ever again. I had to conserve them.
If I hadn't jumped out the window, we'd both be dead right now.
Why did you jump anyway?
Stop. Shh. There's something down there.
We'd passed by multiple conjunctions and alleys. Everything in this maze was featureless so far. I saw no signs of life whatsoever. We stopped now by a thin alleyway, similar to the one that had hidden the goblin dozer. It was completely pitch black in there. On my map, the alley led down to another conjunction, then several more tributaries. The map only revealed so much of the area, so I couldn't see past there. There were no red dots or anything like that. Not that I could see.
What is it?
Donut leaped up off the ground and landed on my shoulder. I suppressed an oof. She wasn't nearly as heavy as she used to be when she did that. Then I remembered my strength was much higher than before. She curled her long, fluffy tail around my neck and glared. What? What do you see?
Whoa!
Two bolts shot out of Donut's eyes, one after another. They were like laser blasts from a sci-fi movie. I was so surprised that I almost fell backward. Instead, I just stumbled a little. I remembered she had that magic missile spell. The first bolt hit the rocky wall of the alley, sending bits of rock and smoke showering. The second was better aimed and traveled the length of the tunnel before splashing against something. It was too far away for me to see what it was, but the moment the missile hit it, a red dot appeared on my map.
Okay, there it is. Go get it.
Yeah, maybe next time wait until we know what it is before we start randomly shooting at it. What if that had been a person?
That's quite obviously not a person, Carl!
Shit. Shoot another missile!
In the moment the thing was lit up by the pulse blast, I could distinctly see what it was. I got a good enough view for the info box to pop up.
llama. Level 3. It's a llama, but it's bad. If he were human, he'd be covered in prison tattoos and would be hanging out in front of the Circle K hitting on 14-year-old girls. They might be willing to sell you something if you have good stuff to trade. You won't want to get hit by their spit.
Oh, God damn it, Donut!
I jumped back from the alleyway entrance. A red, baseball-sized ball of spit blasted out of the hallway and splattered across the floor. It sizzled where it hit, and the stones of the rocky floor turned crimson. Lava. The llama was shooting lava out of its mouth. I balled my fists. Mordecai had said my punches were more powerful than either of the weapons I had. But the idea of fighting a fucking llama with my bare hands was ridiculous. I had the fingerless gloves I'd received in a loot box, but they offered no armor protection.
You're gonna have to shoot it again!
I can't! I'm out of mana!
Didn't you just get a mana potion?
The damn llama was even bigger than I expected. It was as large as a horse. The creature had giant yellow buck teeth. It turned its scorched and tan-colored head to glare at me. One of its eyes had been blown off by the missile. Black and red ichor poured down the side of its face. It had the debuff septic pulsing over its head. The powerful debuff was similar to poison. It worked faster, but it couldn't be stacked. And unlike poison, it could be healed with a simple healing spell or potion. The llama's health was already about three-quarters gone. Donut howled and leaped off my shoulder as the llama reared back to spit again. The thing's neck glowed. I hit it with an uppercut and a left hook right in the face. I felt bones crunch. My left hand exploded in pain, and I didn't know if the crunching bones were in the llama's face, in my hand, or both. Probably both. It unleashed its gob of spit just as its head turned away from me. I felt the heat of the lava ball sail over my shoulder. I stepped in and punched it again. A right jab directly in its glowing throat. The creature dropped like a sack of hammers. I jumped back as the fur and skin around its neck erupted in red flames. I had ruptured whatever the hell was in its throat that made the lava. The lava around its throat started to rapidly cool, filling the hallway with an acrid, sulfur-like stench. My left hand was broken. It throbbed in pain, but thanks to my regeneration ability, it was already knitting itself. I pulled up my health menu and looked at the pie chart. I could zoom in on that specific injury, and it gave me a detailed explanation on everything that was happening. My regeneration skill did a triage of my injuries, healing the most important items first. It was just my left hand along with some abrasions on my right hand. I could adjust the menu and give healing priority to other parts too. After a minute, I was good as new.
I dealt 71% of the damage. It's telling me I get to pick loot first.
The corpse blinked, and an info box popped up.
Lootable corpse. Bad llama. Level 3. Killed by Crawler, Grand Champion Best in Dungeon, Princess Donut, with an assist by Crawler Royal Bodyguard, Carl. Poor llama skin. Uncooked llama steaks, times 2. Baggy of Trailer Park Grade Meth, times 2.
The skin disappeared from the inventory menu along with one of the steaks. The corpse's skin disappeared, leaving just a gross pile of muscle.
Your turn.
Meth? I laughed at how absurd it was. I added the rest of the items to my inventory. My inventory added 2 new menus. Food items and pharmaceuticals. I had a couple new achievements. One for looting a corpse and one for sharing experience. I received a pair of bronze adventurer boxes. Donut got the same, plus a couple additional achievements for casting her first spell and finally killing something, along with killing a mob higher level than herself.
That was no good.
We continued our trek east.
Sloppy, you can't be injuring yourself every time we get into a minor tussle.
Minor tussle?
We need to be more cautious. We can't just blindly stumble around.
No, we need to level up, and we need to do it quickly. I'm starting to think this main road is not the best choice for traveling or fighting.
She jumped down a random hallway, and I had to rush to keep up. A few turns later, and we were far from the main thoroughfare. Here, the walls were tighter and the ceiling much lower. The whole place glowed green from the lichen on the walls. Some of the halls curved and met dead ends. But thanks to the map, which built itself as we went, it was easy to keep from getting too lost. The whole place was eerily barren. Occasionally I heard a screeching noise coming from the distance, and once I heard something that sounded like a man screaming at the top of his lungs, followed by gunfire. But it was way far away, and I couldn't tell exactly from where. We traveled like this for what seemed like hours, not coming across anybody or anything except a few random tutorial guilds. And bathrooms. The bathrooms were everywhere. It was the strangest thing. There seemed to be a bathroom door about once every quarter mile or so. Each doorway was different, and it appeared the doors were taken from actual bathrooms and restaurants and bars and buildings from around the world. Some had the symbol for men or women on them. One had a handwritten sign in what looked like Korean. Another had a note saying it was for paying customers only. I opened the first four bathrooms we came across, and each one was the same inside. A silver toilet and a roll of toilet paper. No sink, no mirror. Just a toilet and barely enough room to sit down in. No matter how wide or thin the door was, the room was the same each time. After the third room, I began to suspect it was the same room. To test it, I took the roll of toilet paper and pulled it out, dipping the end into the bowl of the waterless toilet. The next one we passed, I opened it up, and sure enough, the toilet paper remained dipped in the bowl. After I closed the door, I had Donut open it up. She could open and shut doors just by looking at them as long as she was close enough. She opened the door I'd just been in, but this time it was a knee-high cubicle featuring a litter box.
Oh, good. I got a wee.
Donut entered the room and shut the door. She emerged 30 seconds later, trailing litter all over the place. She looked over her shoulder at me.
You should go. You look like you need to go.
What I really needed to do was sleep. The initial adrenaline rush from all of this was finally coming down, and I was exhausted. I had only slept an hour or so before Sam woke me up last night, looking for someone to play Call of Duty with. Last night? It was barely 5 hours ago or so. In my health menu, it listed me as fatigued. It didn't cure itself with my regeneration. We had to find one of the rest areas. Mordecai said they were all over the place. We could set up a temporary base of operations there and explore the area cautiously and deliberately. This aimless wandering was going to get us into big trouble sooner rather than later. A couple minutes later, we were beset by a group of level 2 rats. There were 5 of them, and the screeching, hissing creatures were about half the size of Donut. The monsters weren't too big, but the bastards were huge for rats. They bit and scratched, and one even inflicted me with a poison debuff that only lasted for a second before my cloak canceled it out. I ended up defeating them by punting them against the wall one by one. They hit the wall and exploded like water balloons. Their deaths were over the top, overly gory, almost like their bodies contained twice as much blood as they should. Donut had leveled up to 2 after the llama battle. It appeared we received experience equal with the percentage of how much we participated in the battle. But the number wasn't exactly equal with how much damage we dealt. I suspected support activities such as tanking and healing also counted, though we didn't have nearly enough data to figure out if that was accurate or not. It also appeared that simply being in a party with someone and present at the battle garnered a nominal amount of experience. With the rats, I received nearly enough to level me up to 3. Donut, who hadn't lifted a paw to help me, spent the next 5 minutes bitching about how her mentorship should have counted for more experience. The cat was definitely making an effort to be less abrasive, but she was still a cat. She had a reckless streak to her and a quick mouth, often making quips before realizing what she'd said. but she was also showing very cat-like signs of affection, too. One time I stopped and leaned up against a wall to rest. She spent the time purring and rubbing up against my legs. I looked down at her, and she returned my gaze.
What?
By the time we finally found a safe room, we had participated in 10 more skirmishes. All against rats and these large cockroach things called scatterers. The bugs were the size of and shape of a loaf of bread. We didn't receive any additional loot of interest except multiple rat pelts, and one cockroach dropped an item called a scatterer carapace, which added itself to my crafting items menu. I killed every single one of them with my bare feet. I punted the rats and jumped on top of the cockroaches. The bug mobs crunched like potato chips under my feet. While I did most of the fighting, Donut now made an effort to fire one magic missile each fight from the safety of my shoulder. Her skill level in the spell went up to 3. I spent a moment examining her stats. My view was limited, but I could see she currently had a 17 in intelligence, giving her 17 mana points. Each zap of her spell cost 5 mana points. For me, the spell points regenerated very, very slowly, making magic almost useless. Donut regenerated much faster, at about 1 point a minute. I didn't know why she generated the points more quickly, but 1 a minute was still pretty slow. Most of these fights were decided in seconds. I hit level 3 and gained a skill called Foot Soldier, and a second one called Smush. The Foot Soldier skill increased the damage I dealt by kicking. The Smush skill was, something else.
Smush! Skill level 3. Killing with your feet.
Your bare, beautiful feet. Taking your bare foot, placing it on top of a living, conscious life, and then pressing lovingly down until that life ceases to be. Is there a more noble way to kill? The amount of pressure you can bring to bear upon an enemy with your unshod foot is increased by 10% with each level of the skill.
I remembered the weird message I'd received before when I'd jumped on the Goblin Engineer. I thought it was just a throwaway joke, like most of the descriptions. But it seemed the AI, or whatever it was that controlled the game messages, really did have some sort of foot fetish. It was fucking weird.
I guess we're not getting you shoes.
Yes, we are. As soon as possible.
It sounds to me like the computer fancies you. Or your feet, at least. We'll need to take advantage of that. If the system likes us, then maybe it'll go easier on us.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Being eaten by a bugbear makes me uncomfortable, Carl. So, if your boyfriend ogling your tootsies keeps these easy-peasy bugs coming at us instead of more of those lava-splitting llamas, then you better buck up, get over your human male privilege, and take one for your princess.
Take one for my princess. I saw the safe room glowing green on the edge of the minimap, and we angled our way toward there as we continued to argue. The scatterers were becoming more frequent, and I knew the main nest had to be nearby. At least I hoped that was what was happening, and that Donut wasn't right. A single level 4 cockroach scuttled away at our approach, disappearing toward a large, round cavern that was just past the entrance to the safe room. We didn't pursue it, choosing to head toward safety. We entered the safe room.